to 16 of Ephesians chapter 5, with the four thoughts, we would be able to cover three today. 11 and 12, walk away from sin. In verse 13 to 14, walk in holiness. And 15, walk in spiritual alertness. And verse 16, walk with spiritual urgency. So he tells us in this first thought to walk away from sin. Verse 10 says, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And the context is in verse 8. What did verse 8 say, you recall? For ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as the children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. The Word of God tells us the instruction that is given for us here is this, that when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, there is a transformation that God has brought in your life. And this transformation that God wrought in your life is supernatural. God had done something to clean up that life. And you are now free from that bondage of sin. And you have that power to walk in the light. You have that power to walk as children of light, to bear the fruit of righteousness. God has made us clean, and we are to live with that fullness of a clean life. And so he asked that we examine our lives, if this is true. You know, we can say that we have become a Christian, but there is that process of sanctification whereby we grow and we become more mature in the things of God. And we need to take time to study and understand who we are. And as you look into the Word of God, you would see yourself as a reflection, as a mirror. And the Lord gives us His Word so that He bears our heart before us through the honest description of Scripture. You know, Scripture is very clear and very, the word there I would say is very sharp, able to point out what is wrong with our lives. And that is powerful, you know. We may think that the Word is just the Word. But because of the Spirit of God that is in you, and the power of God that is manifested in your life, well, there is a inside work that God does to strengthen your life. And we go through this time of proving and approving ourselves. And that's the verse there, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. We are to take time to examine our lives. We are to take time to think. Right? So here, you see the Lord shows us what is the unclean life. Right? We have been studying, and He shows us how we need to move in that way of sanctification. And He tells us that we are to bear fruit in our lives. Do you see fruit in your life? The Lord wants you to examine your own life. How is it last year versus this year? Year to year, year by year, month by month. When we had our church camp, we said the list of nearly 49, 50 things that we are to put off. Right? And we said, choose five. And five of those things that considered your own weaknesses, and you yourself know, no one else know. And then to see what is the antidote and to work at it, seek the Lord in prayer that we may be able to have the grace to overcome that particular sin in our life, that particular weakness in our life. And the Lord is bringing us along the good path, right, of growing more and more like Him. But we have to keep at it. The way of God in our lives is such that He wants us to grow in a consistent, and He wants us to grow in a deliberate manner. That's why the Word of God is given. And Paul had to spend time in the church in Ephesus. He spent many years, 2 years, 3 years, to instruct them, to teach them, to show them the better way. And then he tells them, you have received these instructions. Now you would take time. To take time to ask the Lord to effect change in your life. And the word there to prove, and verse 11, says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. He's saying to us to look at our lives and to consider if we are still meddling with the old life. And it's not surprising that you have become a Christian positionally in the sight of God. God has washed you all clean. But there is that wrestling that is within you, the flesh that is seeking to pull you down, and when you are not close to the Lord, you stray. And the Lord is saying here in verse 11, right, that you need to have that strength to say no to sin. When you are tempted, when the temptation comes before you, you need to have that strength to find that escape route. You need to have that strength to find the way out. And oftentimes in a temptation, when a temptation God allows to come to us, it is during a time of weakness, when you are not so strong, that a temptation would come. And oftentimes it can catch us off guard. And that's where the Apostle Paul is saying to us that you be careful. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Are there some skeletons, hidden skeletons in the closets of your heart? The phrase there is describing, are there some hidden sins? Are there some sins that we still continue to take hold of in our lives? That we refuse to let go? Well, the Lord tells us that we are to reprove. by conviction, the word there, bring to light, to expose. So the Lord is saying to us that, yes, you have become a Christian. Yes, the Lord has cleaned you inside out. But is it not true also that when temptation comes, you fall into temptation? A good example would be when you examine your own time with God, your devotional time. Is it a consistent walk where you would catch up and you would be there to meet with the Lord each day? Not easy. It's a daily struggle, in a sense. It's a daily work of grace. In the early days, when the Saint Augustine was saved, he prayed, "Lord, save me from my sins, but not quite yet." And sometime after that, he prayed, "Lord, save me from all my sins except one." Then he came to the final prayer, "Lord, save me from all my sin and save me now." Do you have that kind of a strength in heart to say that I must make right with God in every aspect of my life? I will not allow sin to fester, not one. And you know, for the Christian to take time to examine ourselves and to confess our sins is the only way in which we can have a closer walk with God. If we think that, you know, my life is okay, things are going well, I don't see anything wrong. But if you are walking with the Lord and you are having your time with God every day, the surprising thing that you would discover is that God will surface before you the problems of your heart. Have you experienced that? God will surface before you the problems of your heart. And God would use His Word to provide an answer for you. What to do, even before the temptation would come, before the trial would come, the Lord provides you with a safeguard. See, that's the Christian walk. You don't go into battle unprepared. The Lord will prepare you before a trial will come. Before a testing would come. The Lord says that He would not give you a trial that you cannot withstand, that you cannot take. He always give you a trial that you can pass. There will be a way out. So good, isn't it? And Paul is saying to us, if God has that plan for you to be a man for Him, a woman for Him, then why are we not living that life? Verse 12. verse 12 says, "For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret." Right? He's telling us that, you know, we need to make sure that our lives are right before God. And why do we have to keep emphasizing this? Because if you allow sin to fester, then you find that it robs you of your joy. It robs you of your peace. It robs you of a fruitful walk. This is what Paul is saying. And he tells us, there are certain things in life where you do not have to experience to know that it is harmful for you. Okay? Oftentimes, especially the younger people, they would say, "I have to try it. I've never experienced this before." And one good example is Proverbs 20 verse 1. "Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise." And how is it that in the Christian church there are many who do not take this injunctions, this warning seriously? And, you know, there was someone who tells me, "I only drink good wine." And I don't drink it that often, you know. And I said that, "But is there a danger?" And if you were to look at the instructions of Scripture, it tells us that indeed there are many dangers to the man who is not sober. But when you begin working, you'll find that inadvertently you'll be asked to join in a company function. Inadvertently you'll be asked to join in a social event. And then you would be confronted with a choice. Would you join in the drink or not? Would you have the strength of heart to say that you will not? Social drinking, as the term puts it, suggests that the consumption of alcohol in respectable surroundings is in some way different from drinking in other environments. If you're all dressed up in your best uniform, then it's okay. It's a dignified way of social life that I must follow. But the problem has grown to a disproportionate level, even in amongst Christians in the Christian church. And, you know, the Bible Presbyterian Church began in 1937. And one of the distinctives of the founding fathers of the church was about this, that they would not take an alcoholic drink because they know that the alcoholic drinks of today are different. they are distilled and with great power of intoxication, 50%, 60%, 70%. It used to that, you know, we had an opportunity to drink of a digestive. You just take a bit after a full meal, 60% alcohol. Seems so good. You notice that amongst the working group, that's something that is quite prevalent. Something that, you know, you wouldn't bat an eyelid to do. And you see, this thing starts small. And the statistics that we have here link to road accidents, physical injuries, social problems, unemployment, is so much impacted, impacting the people in society. I recall visiting a man who was a compulsive drinker. And, you know, you go to his house, he would be sleeping outside on a piece of cardboard that is placed outside, and he would be there, and beside him there would be the bottle. And it's so sad. His life is ruined. And if you were to go and you were to look amongst the general population, you'll find that this is something, not so much a problem. I remember I was attending a company dinner, and there were about 50 of us, and we were encouraged to drink a little beer, a little wine, a little hard liquor. And when it comes to me, at that time, well, God gave me that conviction to say no. I'll take that soft drink, take that other drink. But the others who tried to be sociable, so they said, okay, I drink a little bit. But the dinner went on 3 hours. By the time we are halfway through, I see one man hugging another man, pessimist face. Reality. Then I ask myself, would the manager of a company give a multi-million-dollar business to someone who would not be sober? Of course not. He has eyes to see. He challenged you to drink, but he wants to observe how you would respond. And so here we are speaking about the sobriety of the Christian. You would not allow anything that can potentially taint, weaken you spiritually to affect you. And so he tells us that, yeah, the challenge will come. You will be asked, will you attend that function or not? And will you participate or not? To walk away from sin requires some level of strength on our part. Verse 13 and 14. Walking in holiness. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore, he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. The injunction here is for believers to be spiritually active, alive, and awake so that they can do the works of God. You know, you can be distracted by certain distractions in your life. Right? We know ourselves. What are they? And what can come in the way of our walk with God? And we can feel ourselves drawn away. And when it's time for prayer meeting, when it's time for worship, when it's time for service, right, we don't feel like it. We don't feel up to it. To attend the worship service, to go for that prayer meeting. Because sin has a way of dulling our senses to the things of God. And so Paul is saying here that we are to be very vigilant. You can be spiritually alive and yet spiritually dead. God has cleaned you. You have the Spirit in you. But if we are not yielding ourselves to the Spirit's leading in our lives, then we are not making progress in our walk. And the Lord is saying to us, make progress. Make progress. And if you were to ask someone who has been delivered from sin and begin the new life in Christ, you'll find that there are certain areas in the life that is not so easy to give up. Right? There are those who drink in the past, and after you come to know the Lord, you have the weakness. I have that cupboard of good wine and good drink. I don't go to the club anymore. But I still take a cup. I still drink a little bit in the night. And the Lord is saying to us here that holiness, the life of holiness and that walk with God is a personal conviction. You must come to understand sin for what it is. If you are not seeing it, then the Lord says to us that, you know, we are to pray and ask God to help us to change. And I remember I was working in a company that was European with American customers. And so to drink a wine, to drink a champagne, to have beer is something so normal. Right? But you know that you can't take the strength of the drink. But it also takes a firm conviction for us to say no and to put it away. And so for me, it took some time, a number of years, before the Lord convicted my heart. And when the conviction came, I just took all the bottles that I have and I threw them all away. And I have up to now never come back again. No. Is there some sin in your life that is bothering you? That you are not able to give up and it's causing you to be weak? The Lord wants you to come to a state, a conviction. Reprove darkness. Stop giving excuses for yourself. And oftentimes, you see, we don't learn until we experience a fall. God had to deal with us. And then we'll be rudely shocked. So the Lord tells us that no, don't wait till that time. And that is the meaning and the purpose of having a regular Bible study, regular Sunday school class, whereby the Word of God is sounded forth to our hearts, so that we can take time to think, take time to ponder, take time to come to a conviction in our heart how we ought to live our life. And not everyone around us has that same experience. I have come to the same conviction concerning certain aspects of our lives. And it's not that we shouldn't be busybody towards our brethren. When we see their sin, but we are to also understand that to allow God to have time to work in their hearts. I remember the woman who was caught in adultery, and they were brought to Jesus, and Jesus did not give a sentence immediately. Stone her, crucify her. Jesus wrote on the ground something that, well, he could not really describe. And Jesus said to the people around, "He who has no sin, you cast the first stone." And then from the oldest to the youngest, every one of them left. And Jesus said to that woman, "Has anyone condemned thee?" And she said, "No, no one." And Jesus said to her, "Go and sin no more." Jesus was giving that lady time to think and to ponder and to come to a conviction concerning our ways. And it's such a blessed thing, isn't it, that God would put us in an environment of nurturing, an environment for growth, whereby He provides us with His Word to give us the instructions how we ought to live our lives. And here it is said to us in this thoughts, just two thoughts that we would cover. The first one, in recap, walk away from sin. When the temptation comes, you have that strength in your heart to know that this is a temptation, and I will say no. And you can't be going into a temptation unprepared, in the sense that, you know, there is not a conviction, a strength to want to fight it. And so Paul is saying that God has done a great work. Christ has died for you to redeem you. Know the price that is paid for the redemption of your sins. Know the heartache of the people around you who have tried to help you so that you may grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And really, to buck up, pull out our socks, and grow, and bear fruit, walk away from sin, walk in holiness, when we are willing to say no to sin. And then we have to put on those things that replaces the void that we would normally, the void of sinful activities that we would indulge ourselves in. Our life has to change. The manner of life, the things we use, the way we use our time has to change. And we would have to make that effort to pray and ask God to give us the strength to overcome. Give us the strength to live victoriously. And you would see, you would find that the people around you would be able to see a difference. And, you know, one of the telltale signs of a spirit walk is that God prepares you for worship every Lord's Day. You have a sense of expectation that you'll be going to the house of God to worship Him. A sense of gladness and a preparedness that you're coming before the Lord. It will be a day of rest. It will be a day of rejoicing. And that you're willing to, you know, give it that first priority in your life. That is a telltale sign of our spirituality. May God work a sanctifying work in our lives so that we would grow and continue to grow by His grace, by His mercy. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank Thee for showing us out of Thy word how sin is to be reproved and how we are to prove our lives, how we are to give an honest appraisal concerning ourselves. And Lord, we realize that we are weak, that many a times we have failed Thee. Lord, may Thou be gracious to give us that strength to walk aright with Thee. Give us the strength to live well that Christian life and enjoy the beauty of holiness in our lives. Lord, strengthen us. Bless us with Thy presence this coming week. And help us to enjoy Thy companionship, Thy company with us. Let our day be of the week, days of the week, be daily communion and daily joy, receiving grace, strength, wisdom from Thee. And Lord, we thank Thee that we are born in this day and age where we can be influence to a dying world influence to a world that is totally drunken with the intoxication of deception, to build a life on this earth. Lord, help us to be the salt and light for Thee. This I pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.